brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and sideshow.com. Should you hear anything on today's show and you need to get in touch, we'll get to today's guest in just a little bit. But before I start, the Sideshow is still a radio show, as a, by the way, it airs in Dublin and also it airs in Cork. Hello, people of Clonakilty. That kind of leads me to a mildly very important matter that sidetracks me to this bit, because on December the 9th there are Christmas drinks taking place in Dublin and you are invited. You can choose to wear your Sideshow t-shirt. If you choose not to wear a Sideshow t-shirt, then please do go in, get a white t-shirt, pull out a crayon, a permanent marker, some line marking paint for doing a football pitch, and write on it, "Peter has a face for radio." Other than that, go to sideshow.com. On the right hand side you'll see an icon, a picture, an image. Click that baby and that will lead you to where you can purchase a tailored to measure Sideshow t-shirt. They are absolutely super duper. Okay, let's skip past the drinks and the t-shirts and all that bit just for a minute, and let's go back to Clonakilty. Because if you hit the roundabout in Clonakilty, just as you come into the town, on the right hand side is a Super Value supermarket by the name of Scally's. And when you walk in the entrance, go right the way down to the very, very back, they have what I can only describe as the promised land. It is the finest cake emporium that you have ever seen in your life. And Scally's are the makers and producers of the finest custard donuts that you have ever tasted. Now, most of you who know me know I have a very few, I lead a very simple life, but there are a few loves in my life that there is just no getting away from. Top of the list would be really fine coffee, the two spots, gentlemen, how are you? And number two would be Arsenal Football Club. And number three would be, of course, a couple of pints of Guinness. December the 9th, write the date down in your diary at Sideshow on Twitter. And number four would be cake. So could somebody from Clonakilty please go into Scally's, take 20 custard donuts, not the jam ones, not the chocolate ones, not the anything, not the just the custard ones, put them in an envelope and just post them down to me. Thank you very much. And let's move on with the next bit, because whilst we are still in Cork, you would not believe it if I told you, a gentleman by the name of Finian Hayes has been in touch. And Finian says, "Hello, Peter. I have to first say I am a fan of the podcast." Well, Finian, that is great to hear. "Just to introduce myself," Finn continues, he says, "my name is Finn Hayes. I am 20 years old and he owns a plant nursery here in Cork, the real capital," he says in brackets. Well, Finn, that kind of makes you pretty much the belle of the ball, doesn't it? A fine catch, as we might say. Well, let's see, where's Finn from? Finn's Nursery, Lowland Cottage, Arla. Arla. That sounds like something you'd say in the wee hours of the morning. I shall go on. Arla. You know, with a few on you. Yeah. Okay, let's... Anyway, Finn says, "Towards the end of November, I am opening a garden centre here in Cork, and he's wondering if it is possible to beg his way onto even getting a mention on the show." Well, Finn, this is your moment in time, and I am hesitant to play... Oh, God, jeepers, some kind of Shania Twain track to go with that. Even though I believe, Finn, you might be a big fan of Shania Twain, but she is barred from this show and should be barred from every single radio show that I have ever heard in my life. I don't know why Radio Nova in Dublin continue to play her, but he would love to tell everybody, Finn says, the story behind how he got to where he is. You're 20, Finn. You're 20. You've just made your confirmation. You've only just... What? "I would love to tell everyone the story behind how it got to where I am, and quite frankly, I would love to be on the show." Well, Finn, we'll start out with this bit. This is your moment, Finn. Go to the Anchor Bar in Bantry. That's what you do, Finn. Stand up on the counter and proclaim yourself. Tell everybody, "for I have been noted on the Sideshow. I am Finn of Hayes. I am 20 years of age. Finn's Nursery, Lowland Cottage, Aherla in Cork. They are finnshorticulture.com. Finn, congratulations, my good man. Best of luck with the new venture. And fingers crossed, we will be talking to you soon as is logically possible." What else is on the news? Oh, yeah. So there was a top 5 garden podcast list produced in 2013. Google Garden Podcasts, it'll come up for you. I was sent this link, and the Sideshow is not included. So for all of you out there who know somebody who is writing, who owns the blog, who owns the thing, who owns the something, could you please do me a favour and write a top 5 garden podcast list and include the Sideshow? Do you know that Gardenista, I think they are, Gardenista.com did a list of top podcasts and the Sideshow was included in it. Do you know where they're based? In the United States. Do you know how many top 5 garden podcast lists the Sideshow has ever been included in? between the UK and Ireland? Zero. You know people who know people. I mean, we know Rob Hardy. He's a former guest of the show. A very good looking fellow is Rob. Great sense of humour. A fellow Arsenal fan. I don't need to say any more. Do I? No, I don't. Go. Make it happen. Yeah. All right, let's get on with today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, please give him a very warm welcome. His first time on the Sod Show, Tommy Tunsberg.
Brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to another episode of the Sod Show. And on the line today is a gentleman by the name of Tommy Tunsberg. This gentleman came to my attention not only via the Garden Media Guild in the UK, of which I am now a full member, but also via the ladies of Fuller's Mill Garden, where Tommy is due to give a talk next week. Tommy Tunsberg, you are very welcome to the Sod Show.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Tommy, what do you do for a living?
I run my own company now, which is called Garden Living, and we do a bit of everything that has to do with gardening. So we publish a magazine, and we have a website that sells everything you need for the garden, run a small nursery and give talks and write books and articles and photography.
You're a hard man to get in touch with, Tommy. You are extremely busy.
Yeah, I've been out giving talks all the time, so you're trying to reach me, haven't I?
You have. Well, it's a nice compliment I gather. You're either extremely good looking and better looking than me, Tommy, or else you're just extremely popular and great at playing the guitar. I'm unsure of which that is.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I was out in the south of Norway today. It was a 6-hour drive because there's no planes that go to where these small garden clubs are situated.
Your talk in Fuller's Mill Garden, let's go there just for a minute if we can. It is your first talk in the UK, as far as I am led to believe.
That's correct, yes.
Let's go back, Tommy. Can I ask you approximately what age you are?
I'm 36.
36 years of age. Let's go all the way back. Did your parents start the nursery? Did you start the nursery?
No, me and my partner started the nursery. But before that, we had other jobs. So I started working in the garden centre when I was 13, to do when I wasn't at school. And then when I was 18, I got a job with the Norwegian Horticultural Society. And I was with them for almost 13 years and was editor-in-chief and head of publishing for 7 years. And after that, we decided to start the nursery and run the business from our small farm here in Norway.
It's unusual though, Tommy, if you don't mind me saying, or at least it's unusual for a guy who works between the UK and Ireland, to hear anybody who has their own nursery, which essentially is the growing of plants, to then turn around and start their own horticulture or gardening magazine. How did that part come about? And I understand you've got a business doing the plants, but I also get the bit where there's a product that is made of paper that people can hold in their hands.
Yeah. This was because I'd already done it in my old work. And when we started our company, I sort of felt that I was missing it a bit. And then I had people who kept coming to me saying, "We miss you in the magazine, and don't you miss it?" And they said, why don't you start something? And we thought, why not? Let's give it a go. So we produce it all here, all the writing, all the photography and the layout, and send it to print and everything. So it's all done from this office, our little office in our house.
That kind of explains a little bit maybe as to why you were so busy between the talks, between the magazine and the growing of plants. How big of a nursery are we talking, Tommy?
It's not very, very big. I don't know how much in maybe 500 square meters or so. So it's very small, but we try to specialize on things that you can't get in the other garden centers in Norway, because most of the plants that are sold here are brought in from Holland, so there's very little production in the country. And we saw all these fabulous things when we went to the UK and we couldn't get them, so we thought maybe we should start producing them.
Well, let's go there if we can then, Tommy. Specialist plants, number one, we'll get to that in just a second, but for those who have never been to Norway before, what is your climate like? So to clarify or to put that in context, in Ireland and in the UK, we have a similar climate, number one, but number two, you are guaranteed lots of rain, possibly in the summer, some sunshine.
sunshine, maybe in the winter and in the autumn, and possibly rain, sunshine and snow, maybe in the summer, winter and autumn, but not a lot of snow, generally speaking. Your climate, on the other hand, is what?
Yeah, it's a lot more snow in the winter. So we've had our few specks of snow already, but usually the snow won't fall and stay until November, December, perhaps, and then it stays until middle of March, beginning of April. And by the time the snow comes, it can go down to minus 30 Celsius for shorter periods, but around minus 10 to minus 20 is more how it usually is. So it gets cold, very cold.
Does that not make the growing of plants and the owning of a nursery extremely difficult? And bearing in mind, for those listening in Ireland and the UK, and for you who may be going to see one of Tommy's talks, in 2010 and 11 in Ireland and in the UK, we had minus 18 Celsius on Christmas Day, and Irish nurseries across, and UK as well, were literally decimated overnight. How do you get around that one, Tommy? And how does that work? Or are those plant choices that you decide to grow, are they specific and therefore quite specialist, bearing that in mind?
Yeah, I think we try to find, obviously, the plants that will survive here, but also I think with our winters, when it gets cold, it stays cold and it doesn't get wet. So the plants are fine. We grow mostly perennials, so they die down underground and then they stay there. And as long as we don't get any mild spells during the winter, then we're fine. But if we get that, then we get moisture and then things rot. So as long as it's dry and cold, it's fine.
Okay, that's a really funny way to describe things, Tommy. so long as it's dry and cold. But I understand horticulturally exactly what you're saying now. The equation has been firmly fixed in my head. Is it therefore then important, Tommy, and we'll put this into Peter's world, in my business, it is Donegan Landscaping. There is nothing else that pays the mortgage. There have been people who have got involved with the Sod Show and wanted to be a part of that and helped it along. And for that, I am extremely grateful. But I'll go back to the article written in the Sunday Business Post about me and my involvement in the Sod Show, which is that it's a Jamie Vardy story, or maybe some have said to me it's a Conor McGregor story, in that it's able to compete. But I will also say what I have said before, and that it never makes me a penny. Any kind of sponsorship stuff has gone back into it, and really, whilst it is there at the top, it's kind of competing. On the other hand, you have a magazine, which I gather therefore is an important part of your income. Would that be a fair thing to put at you?
Yeah, it's a small part of our income. We've only had it for a couple of years, so we're building it up. The first year, I think we lost money on it, but you know, you have to keep working at it and getting it out there. So all the things we do give a bit of money, and together that turns into something that you can live off. But I don't think we could have lived off the magazine alone, or the nursery alone, or giving the talks or writing the books alone. But together, then it's possible to live off it in this cold country.
Is it, and let me sidetrack here again, because just for those of you who are unaware, and although we did have a little bit of a joke at the very, very start of the show, on a very serious note, I think it's taken me approximately about 2 weeks to get my hands on Tommy by telephone, just to put in context. Now, I hear Irish people in Dublin literally saying, well, Peter, that's not far off the mark of what it takes us to get our hands on you as well. So I can't really argue with you there, Tommy, but at the same token, it's a nice compliment for you to be that busy. And I gather the talks that you do and the name that you have in Norway is obviously quite high.
Yeah, I guess so. I do around between 30 and 40 talks each year, and some of them are quite local, and others are, you have to get on a plane to give them. So it's very handy living quite near to an airport, actually.
And the magazine, Tommy, I mean, we would be aware of the RHS magazine. We would be aware that there are one or two publications in Ireland, and obviously there's the UK has a fine plethora of publications. How does your own differ on that, Tommy? And what is the setup on that? I gather it's also published not in English, or would that be incorrect of me to assume that?
No, that's correct. It's only in only in Norwegian, and it's very, very planty. We focus on plants and growing. That's the main things. So not so much decorating, not so much garden design and decorating the outdoor room, but how to grow plants and how to put plants together and things like that. Plant portraits, you know.
Would it be fair then also to assume, based on your climate, that even if it was translated into English, that although I might be able to read it, that realistically in Ireland, it would make no absolute horticultural sense at all, climate in mind only?
Possibly, because most of our gardening season is from April till October. And then there isn't much happening in the winter. But I guess you can start prepping things in winter, and you can sow things earlier, plant things out in autumn, and it will crop in the spring. So we have to get everything done from April to October to make it work.
Let's backtrack on this one slightly then, Tommy, if we can. When you were growing up, going through school, and we're into Sideshow Bingo Land, which is that Peter used to grow plants under his bed, there was compost across the handlebars of my bicycle. I decided not on some weekends to buy sweets and football stickers. I decided, therefore, to spend it on compost and by gardening sieves and varying bits and bobs. Were you always into this, Tommy? Where did the passion start? And at this level, I mean, no matter who I talk to, most people will tell me it's like being a rock and roll star, essentially, when you divide all of the years of hard work into the amount of, I guess, years that you have at the very, very top. You probably earn the same amount of wages or less than, in fact, of an electrician. And then when you divide into that again, the amount of months that you can actually work throughout the year, you realise it is a vocation. It is a bit of a passion. It's something that you either love with your heart and soul or you kind of don't. Were you always into this, Tommy? Did you do it as a child?
Yeah, I did. So I've sort of always been into it. And there are pictures of me with grandparents growing flowers and vegetables from when I was tiny, tiny. So I must have started very early. And then, of course, the job I got, I obviously got that because I was so interested. And when I got to the job interview at the garden center, they said, "We've sort of just been waiting for you to show up because we've been seeing you here all these years, and you finally came, so you can have a job."
Is that real?
Yeah. I was always in there asking for grapes and to plant so that I could plant grape vines. They always try to extend the season and grow things that wouldn't be, well, that people wouldn't think would be possible in Norwegian gardens. I was always in there.
So what happened then, Tommy? You obviously took the job. Did you go to college then? And how is horticultural college in Norway?
Yeah, no, I actually thought that this was going to be my big passion and my big hobby, and I didn't want to mix that with work, where I wanted to earn money. So I actually went to become a chef at college. But then I have never worked as a chef. I've always fallen back into horticulture, even though it was just supposed to be a hobby. So I took the education to be a horticulturalist when I was quite grown up, because I thought it'd be good to have some papers on the things you knew. So most of my training have been working in my own garden and working with other gardeners and talking to people in garden clubs and learning from them.
It's a slightly different way to how I did it, Tommy, but you still, irrespective of how I map myself out and map you out, essentially the end result or the end goal, I gather you have got to where you wanted to be. Have there been difficult years in there, Tommy, where you've turned around and went, "God almighty, what am I doing? I should have just got a job in a library or a pet shop or something that was normal and sane. Have you had moments like that, Tommy?
Oh, yeah, several times during the summer because there's so much you need to squeeze in so little time. And I just think, oh, when the weeds are growing, you know, and thing needs to get watered and you're working all day and all night, you think, why am I doing this? But when it calms down, you just go and think, yeah, no, this is worth it. I wouldn't be doing anything else.
Well, and touche, very much touche. And I know in the depths of, we don't mention it, or I refuse to mention it on the Sod Show, but in the depths of, how would I call it, when the economy wasn't entirely going according to plan era, I know there were a lot of my friends, very good friends, who decided, I literally can't take this anymore. Some stuck with it and logically some didn't. Did those years affect you, Tommy?
No, not a lot, actually, because I was still working in my old job in the Norwegian Horticultural Society. And we weren't that affected because we thought at the time that when the going gets tough, then people, they might not go buy their luxury cars or boats or whatever, but do the things that are closer to home, closer to the heart. And then, so I don't think the horticultural industry in Norway suffered that much because people were still buying plants and buying things for their home. So I think we were more all right than many others.
And I guess you've probably to, if you don't mind me saying, in defence of what you have just said, being that you've a shorter horticultural season, it's not like you can get away with, well, I'll leave it till September, October to put down that bit of grass seed or put those few plants in. You either do it this year or you do it next year. It's one or the other.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, Tommy, your talk in Fuller's Mill Garden is taking place at what date, Tommy?
On the 29th of October. So it's coming up quite soon.
What day is that? Is that the Friday or the Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
For those of you listening to this on the day it has been released, that's basically next week. That's next week. Put a note in your diary at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow or sodshow.com. Just put in Tommy into the search bit or at Sodshow, and I'll send you on the link and the details to all of his talks. But if you are there and you've never been to Fuller's Mill Garden, they are going to be upcoming guests on the show. It's a show well worth listening to. I highly recommend, number one, you go there, and number two, get there extremely early, and number three, make sure and book yourself in for Tommy's talk. Tommy, how much is the talk?
Oh, I can't remember now. Is it four or five pounds?
That's not
much, I think.
That's not bad value, Tommy. That's very, very good. Tommy, what is the talk about, can I ask?
It's about gardens and plants in Norway and the history of gardens as well. I thought I had to talk about something that that might be quite new to the people in the UK. It's my first talk over there.
Well, it's extremely new to me, Tommy, just even listening to here. And here, I mean, I remember the first time I went to South Africa and I had this conversation with David Richardson of the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. We were talking again about differing climates. And Tim Entwistle, a former guest of the show as well from the Royal Botanic Gardens in Victoria. And I know talking to Tim, he was talking about when climate change comes along, or as it is coming along. My apologies, that, you know, in Ireland we're talking about having too much water, and in Australia he's talking about having the entire opposite. So how long is the talk for, Tommy?
Around an hour.
And I gather there's obviously, you'll have visuals involved in that as well.
Yes, there's lots of pictures, and there's a lot to get through, so I hope I can narrow it down to the most interesting part.
And according to Annie Delbridge of Fuller's Mill Garden, she's the head gardener there, tickets are selling extremely well and quite fast as well. So if you are listening to this and you do have time, I would literally get on the phone to Fuller's Mill Garden, book your tickets, get your name down on that list and make sure you get a good seat. And by the way, get there a little bit early, by the way. Apparently, Tommy is a little bit the Tom Jones of Norway. There will be women chasing him down the street.
Oh, I hope not.
Did I pick you up enough there, Tommy?
Yeah, I have to give a talk. I need to be calm before that. I can't be chased down the street.
And Tommy will be doing one or two songs. I'm only joking. Tommy won't be doing any songs after that. We'll leave that to one side.
We don't want to scare the people.
Well, hey, I'd rather you're singing than my singing, my good man. Tommy, what does the future hold for you at this moment in time? What's the next couple of years for Tommy Tunsberg?
I think we're going to continue developing the garden, because we've started opening it up as a place people can come and see different plants, and develop the nursery as well, and perhaps starting to run some courses at the garden. I think that'd be good. It would save me a lot of travelling if I did that, if people could come here.
Well, I know Mark Diacono, again, I'm name dropping here, left, right and centre, but Mark Diacono, former guest of the show, I know Mark is just in the process of doing such a thing in the UK, which is Otter Farm. What is the, are you going to have a coffee shop? Will it have accommodation? Is it the nursery? Will it be gardens, Tommy? How will that all work?
I haven't thought that much about it yet. We hope to have a small shop at some time, maybe a mini coffee shop. And then the courses, I don't know, practical horticulture or plantsmanship, I would guess, because they don't teach that much about that in schools around here.
Yeah, see, the difference, Tommy, with you, and you, if you don't mind me saying, you remind me slightly of myself, of when I said I was going to start my own business and people kind of laughed. And when I kind of said, well, I'm going to start my own, you know, radio thing, and then again people kind of laughed a little bit, and that's entirely understandable. I kind of laughed when I said it out loud myself, but I'm quite a determined fellow, and I tend not to hear the word no, and I also tend not to hear the word why. I kind of say, well, more why not. You, on the other hand, have pretty much done something a little bit similar, if you don't mind me paying you such a compliment, which is you did start your own nursery, you did start your own magazine, you did go and, I mean, 40 garden talks per annum in anybody's language is pretty high acclaim.
Yeah, well, I think if you want to do something, then just go and do it. And I have people that have inspired me and that I look to when doing things. So I always think about them when we want to push something forward. So if you have a dream, if there's something you want to do, just give it a go. It's better to do that than to look back 50 years down the line and think, would it have worked or not?
Yeah, well, in radio terms, I think I said in a conversation about 2 months ago, if this Sideshow Garden podcast /radio show is going to go down, it'll go down in the greatest ball of flames that I have ever seen in my lifetime. I don't want it to go there, but to put that in context, I never want to look back and say I should have tried a little bit harder with that. It was either going to get my all or it was going to get nothing. Does that kind of put your brain a little bit better into perspective, Tommy?
It does, yeah. You have to do like the best you can do and go with your dream.
Or don't.
Yeah, exactly.
One or the other. Tommy, if people want to get in touch with you, the name of the magazine is?
That is Hagedrøm, translates into Garden Dream. It's probably easier to just catch me on Twitter, I think, with my name, Tommy Tunsberg.
Okay, so that's TOMMY, that's Tommy, that's the easy bit, TONSBERG, and you'll get Tommy's website, you'll get the details for the magazine, if I was you, and I think I will, actually, I might just get myself a copy of that, and fingers crossed, apparently next month there is going to be a picture of me on the front cover.
You never know.
Sales in Norway are going to go through the roof, I'll be bigger than David Hasselhoff, and nobody will know what's happened, I'll be doing 52 talks a year, and Tommy will, I'm joking, it'll be absolutely grand. Tommy Tunsberg, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Tommy.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank
you. Not a problem at all, and very best of luck with your talk next week at Fuller's Mill. You will come back on the show, Tommy.
Yeah, hopefully, if you'll have me. I'll be happy to talk to you again.
Excellent. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure, my man. Take care, son.
You too. Bye.
And that is it for another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. My thanks to Tommy Tunsberg and the ladies and gentlemen at Fuller's Mill for making this interview possible. Next week on the show, who have we got? We have a lady, an absolute lady. What a story, by the name of Pip Probert. I'm so looking forward to having her on. It's going to be a cracking show. Last week we had David Richardson of the War Graves Commission, the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. What an amazing story. What a truly amazing story. Leah Leendertz has been on. Rob Hardy's been on. We said Rob before, didn't we? Should get badges made. I had Rob Hardy on the Sideshow. Just give them out to people. That is it. Anything else you need at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com facebook.com/thesudshow and thesudshow.com for the entire back catalogue. Thank you. Have a great weekend, the great outdoors. Take care. So long. Bye-bye.